reaching up and making the grab. Odell Beckham Jr. Stafford buys time. Protection is good, and so is the pass. Henderson came out of the backfield. Jefferson in motion. Henderson, nice cutback. Stafford rolling and throwing. Caught, pop, touchdown. Stafford caught on the run. Cup, who else? Comes out of the slot to the right, looks that way, fires that way. Cup makes the grab at about the 18-yard line. Pass, cup, got it, touchdown. Burrow trying to keep it going, gets spun down, gets it away, and incomplete. It looked like P-Ron might have had a shot to make the grab, but the Rams now running down to celebrate with a defensive play.
And guess who? Guess who? I mean, you don't even have to think about it. Do not even have to think about it.
Pointing to the ring finger.
Welcome, everyone, to a brand new season of East Coast Rams Podcast. I am your host, Ashton Spencer, with my lovely co-host, Zach Mayer. Zach, we are entering season two. How are you feeling? Are you hyped up for this wonderful offseason?
Oh, man, I'm so hyped up. And, you know, again, it's that coming, still feeling that we're coming off that Super Bowl win. We have the momentum. Our team doesn't seem like it's as Super Bowl teams in the past, they seem to fall apart a little bit. They lose a lot of players, and that is just not the case with the Rams. They're holding tight with a good group of people. Yes, we lose things across the way, but as we're going to go through this conversation, the pieces that we have are the best pieces in the NFL, and I'm really excited to, you know, continue with season two, which is super exciting to say that we're actually back for season two. So I'm looking forward to the content that we get to provide to all those who are listening to us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been a blast, Zach, doing this with you. I hope we can keep on providing quality content, keep on getting better. We're always looking to do that, and I hope people have kind of heard us get better as we keep on doing these. It should be a very, very good next season. Yeah, so you see a lot of NFL teams after winning Super Bowl get stuck on a rut of just re-signing the same roster and trying to purely run it back. And while, yes, that would be ideal, the NFL keeps on moving and keeps on adapting. And we want to, maybe with adding a Bobby Wagner, find that next two high safety shell rotating thing, a defensive structure that's the next top five defense in the league. We want to, with adding someone like Allen Robinson, and just find the next big offensive boom type offense. You had to keep on moving.
And the Rams are in the perfect position with, you know, with Sean McVay and Les Snead. Those two are masterminds on, you know, making sure that we have the right players in the right positions to be successful. Even if you lose, you know, maybe one or two stars, you got a couple stars that are retiring, things like that. We're still playing at such a high level that, you know, and that's, I mean, that was kind of our run to the Super Bowl. We just kept losing players to injury over and over again, and yet we became Super Bowl champions. So the pieces are there, the team is there, you know, the coaches are there. I think we have a really good, solid chance to run it back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's go ahead and go into quarter one and start talking about some big money contracts. While we were away, Zach, I know you haven't heard of this player, a small guy on the Rams named Aaron Donald. He only signed a deal worth $95 million. They said it was a restructure or extension. They basically gave him a pay raise. I thought a lot of people were making too much drama of him saying that he was potentially thinking about retiring. Like, who wouldn't in his type of situation when he's done everything in the book and then just won a Super Bowl? Like, at that point, like, he can just go sit in a booth and make millions of dollars and have to not, like, stress his body out completely year-round. So, I get that. What's your take on that, Zach, of Aaron Donald signing this huge deal?
I mean, it's definitely well-deserving. I mean, he is the greatest NFL player to ever come. If not that, then he's definitely the best defensive player to come. And he's worth every penny of it. I mean, when you have a player who is consistently double-team and triple-teamed on every play, it's not just one play, not just two plays, depending on the scheme and how they're set up in the front, every single time he is at least supposed to be double or triple teamed. That's just not common in this league. And, you know, it was definitely, I mean, as a fan, you worry about these things, especially with the departure of Von Miller, you know, on the defensive side of things, Darius Williams, you know, there's still some injuries that were kind of lingering from the Super Bowl time period. You know, there on the offensive side, you lose Whitworth and, you know, Robert Woods, and, you know, there's these pieces that you lose. And I think Aaron Donald would have been, you know, more of a stab to the heart than any of those players combined, because he is that high level player. And I think this contract extension helps us now see, all right, we have maybe two seasons left with Aaron Donald, and we as fans need to prepare ourselves for the post Aaron Donald, you know, the post Aaron Donald. He's been with the Rams for 8 years, and, you know, has gone well and beyond, you know, the average football player, you know, winning accolade after accolade after accolade, getting to the highest point, winning that Super Bowl. So I'm really excited that he's coming back. It puts kind of a, you know, a sigh of relief on my shoulders that this is coming, but I couldn't be more happy for him. He deserves it. I mean, if any NFL player deserves it, it's him. And it now puts him as the highest paid defensive player, and I think player outside of a quarterback in the NFL. So that's super exciting for him.
Yeah, he definitely deserves it too, especially when you consider what he does compared to his peers in his position. And that's the thing. I always laugh when people will compare an edge rusher and be like, oh, look, this edge rusher, he has more sacks than Aaron Donald this season. He was clearly better. And I'm like, not only is Aaron Donald doing what he's doing while getting double and triple teamed the most out of any player in the league, he's doing it while being on the interior, which is notoriously, like, harder to get sacks from. And it's just amazing. When people ask me, what is it like watching Aaron Donald every game? I say it's like watching another person's highlight reel in one game.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. For a whole year, you get that with Aaron Donald constantly. It's very rare we have a game where he's not making huge plays in and out every play. And that isn't necessarily getting huge stats. That's just making a huge impact. So really good on him. Deserves every penny. You're not going to hear either of us complain about that on this podcast.
No, for and, sure.
Yeah, continue.
No, I was like, for sure. I mean, he's the best player. And, you know, going into what our next topic is going to be Cooper Kupp. And the only person, who probably, you know, there was a story I heard about motivation and how Cooper Kupp and Matthew Stafford actually motivated Aaron Donald to be even more successful is Cooper Kupp and his, and in his contract extension, which he got a 3-year contract extension, so it actually adds years to him, worth up to $80 million. So keeping him under contract with the LA Rams through the 2026 season, this doesn't really make him the top receiver in the league, but it does bring him closer to that top threshold. Now, I know, you know, we say he's here till 2026. Obviously, things can trade can change. He could be traded at any point, but locking him in as an LA Ram, at least for the foreseeable future, is a big win for this Rams team and for this fan base.
No, I definitely agree. Cooper Kupp, I think outside of injury, is going to have a very productive next 2-3 years with Stafford, or barring Stafford getting injured, just because the type of receiver he is, the amount of possession. He's not the most physical, not the speediest, and that's a perk because that means he's not limited by his body, like slowing down a little bit. He is very mental. He can read coverages. That's how he knows how to adapt his routes. He's like having a quarterback as a wide receiver. It really is. And the Rams going to have a potent offensive attack while he's on the field. He won the Super Bowl when we had no other wide receivers doing anything.
Yeah, I mean when OBJ goes down, you know, things aren't moving along. Cooper Kupp, Matthew Stafford, they say Sean McVay, just it's going to be us two. We're going to make this thing happen. And that's what they did. They took it down the field, got us that unbelievable touchdown. Like I said, Cooper Kupp is going to go down as, you know, one of the best receivers in the Rams history. I mean, and that's, again, you look at the Rams history and you're like, you know, best receivers, you got Isaac Bruce and you got Torrey Holt and, you know, you have all these people and, you know, he's going to be up there. He's going to be that, you know, top three, top five wide receiver for the Rams for the foreseeable future.
Mm-hmm. Yep. We also got Traven Howard back. Of course, he was a cap casualty, got cut, got re-signed. Good for him. I was a little confused when they cut him. I liked him as a good rotational player. But now that we have Bobby Wagner and we have Jones, like having Traven Howard is a cherry on top. It's funny, our linebacking core went from bottom five in the league 2 years ago to now being, I think it's a top five in the league right now. We might need a little bit more depth, but it's definitely up there adding Bobby Wagner in.
Oh, for sure. I mean, this is the first time the Rams have ever really paid a player at that position. And so having him and having Wagner and Ernest Jones definitely there, I think, is going to be good. Having Traven Howard, he did some phenomenal work through, you know, playing in the playoffs. And so, you know, appreciative to what he's done. And I think he's definitely going to be a good, like you said, good rotational person to fill in the spots when they need a break.
Yeah, as Les Need calls them, role players. Really good role players. OBJ, we have no updates. We don't know anything. It sounds like that OBJ is wanting more money than the Rams want to offer right now because of the when he'll be back, which I think is supposed to be like maybe late November.
I mean, best case second half, but most likely it's looking like November, end of November, which puts him back for, you know, and you don't blame the Rams. I mean, you know, he's only going to be there for, you know, at worst
five games.
And at best, you know, you add, you know, four more to those to make another Super Bowl run, which, you know, would be a perfect time to put him in. You know, really when you need all cylinders fired, especially when you're not sure how the first half of the season is going to go. And we'll dive into that later. But the one thing that I can say about this negotiation back and forth is that there is no drama. And I think that is the best thing that the Rams can have, is that there is no drama between OBJ and them. They both understand the circumstances. Yes, OBJ probably wants more money. He wants more of a he wants probably more of a multi-year deal than just a one-year deal. And the Rams are hesitant because, you know, he is injured. And yes, he did all these things to get him to the Super Bowl, but he's still injured. An injury that was a previous injury, like he re-injured the same knee, and you know, so you get that hesitation, but because there's no animosity between the two, you don't see these things like, you know, I'm not getting paid enough, you know, the Debo Samuels of the world, or, you know, all these other, all these other big transitions. Agreed that he's also injured, and most teams probably are trying to stay back a little bit from that until they get a clearer picture. But the Rams are in a good position to get him back. I think OBJ will eventually, you know, he doesn't want to burn the bridge. He knows how good this team is, how good Stafford is, how well he fits in with the system. But he's looking for that paycheck as well, as, you know, a lot of people are. So I do see a deal coming. It just may, you know, honestly, I don't think it's going to favor probably OBJ. I think it might favor the Rams the longer this holdout is. Not saying he's not deserving, but I think it favors the Rams just because of this injury and how late into the game OBJ could be back to playing.
No, definitely. All right, let's move on to quarter two and Nick Scott's comments. Zach, you want to go ahead and read those spicy takes, so to say?
Yeah, so I thought this was just great. This was great PR. The Rams have had terrific PR. Their team is awesome. Their Twitter team, their content management team is awesome. And so, you know, safety Nick Scott had some interesting insight during his latest Q&A while he was visiting Australia. And one of them being the Ramsey versus Cup during practices. And so I'm going to quote what Nick Scott said. And he said, "This may be a little controversial, but I don't think I've ever seen Cooper Cup burn Jalen in practice. But I have seen Jalen lock down Cooper Cup in practice. I'm sure people can pull up receipts on film and maybe show me a time that I missed. But I have not seen it yet, and I have seen Jalen lock up Cooper Cup, so we'll see." Do you got any reactions about that before I give mine?
I mean, practice. I almost feel like practice isn't always the same as in game time, and like, yeah, a lot of guys will go 95-90% in practice. Not saying Cooper Kupp isn't a hard worker. It's not the same in the game, though, like where you're putting your entire heart out there. And some players don't do that during game time, but Cooper Kupp is not that type of guy. And I don't know. I think it's a little bit more hype than it is anything else. Cooper Kupp, I think he could burn Jalen Ramsey, not in the sense of like outrun Jalen Ramsey, but like his cuts and stuff. Like, yeah, he definitely can get a, like, we saw it, especially near the end of last year. Jalen Ramsey was getting a little flat footed, and comes out that he was injured a little bit. But even then, like, Ramsey is like anyone else. He gets beat. He's not perfect.
Oh, yeah, and for sure. And I take it pretty much the same way you do. You know, how often is Cooper Kupp, you know, really on the outside? His sweet spot is always in that middle spot, taking more advantage of the safeties, and, you know, in those positions than really like the wide outs and, you know, the safeties and stuff like that. But Jalen Ramsey is someone who does lock people out. That is his job. That is what he's best at. That's what we love to see him as doing. So, you know, when he's up against a Metcalf, he's up against, you know, this, that, or the other receiver. It's one of those things where that is Jalen. He is a lock person. So when he is with someone, you know, 100% of the time, he probably has a 90% capacity to keep them locked down. So it's not really, again, with you, I think Cooper Kupp, when you're in a game and you're trying to win the game, you're doing more clever things than you're probably doing in practice. You're practicing them, but you're probably not really practicing them too much with the defense. So again, I think this probably, I mean, I don't disbelieve of what Nick Scott's gained, but I definitely think it's probably just more of the fun of it. You know, just being able to say, yeah, you know, in practice, Jalen does, you know, pretty much lock up Cooper Kupp. So I think that's pretty funny. The only other notables that I thought was funny is that he's really mad at Tom Brady for coming back out of retirement, because now he can't say that he intercepted Tom Brady's last, he was the one who caught Tom Brady's last interception. So thought that was funny.
Tom Brady could not throw picks.
What? Oh, that's true.
He could not throw a pick next year.
Yeah. It's a long season. It's a long season.
Yeah. It's a long season.
And so I thought that was funny.
Especially in that offense in Tampa, he's going to throw picks. Yeah. Good stuff there. Let's go ahead and move on to OTAs and minicap. Zach, what do you think about Stafford saying he was impressed by Tutu Atwell? Are you shocked by that? I know, like, a lot. It is a big thing on Rams Twitter to hate on Tutu Atwell. Not saying that's legitimate or not. I definitely get where people come from when they say they didn't like the pick. And I think the pick at that point in time with the team's needs, I think it was overkill. I honestly do, especially with the way free agency was kind of unfolding. It was a little overkill, but the Rams picked them. What's your reaction to this? And do you think Tutu is bound for kind of like a solid year?
So this is definitely interesting. I think that he's probably well talented. He's getting in those reps. He's getting what he needs to do. Cause as of right now, he kind of has a spot as probably the fourth man. But I think he's going to have stiff competition. And I think that's just the way it's going to be, especially this year. I mean, he was injured last year, so we didn't really get to see a full run with him. But between Cooper Kupp, Allen Robinson, Van Jefferson, if OBJ, you know, obviously OBJ would be a second half, you know, late second half, if anything. But, you know, I'm glad that Stafford's impressed with him, because I think it's just another weapon that we have. We never know when a player is going to go down and get injured. And you always want to make sure that whoever's next man up is going to be able to, you know, to put in the work and to put in the effort. And, you know, there have been some players, you know, like for instance, Ben Skowronek, like I think he's a fine wide receiver. He's not a top in his league. So, you know, I'm looking for someone who can maybe take over and become a better receiver than maybe him in that position, because, you know, especially in the Super Bowl, we relied on Skowronek because our depth was so minimal at that point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was fascinating how Stafford kind of talked about how he now seems like he's doing things way more intentionally. It almost comes off like he wasn't being purposeful last year. And, you know, it's not possible for me and Zach to know the man's work ethic. Okay, that's just not possible. So we're not going to, like, theorize about his work ethic. I just hope this next year, and I hope with any player, they take it seriously. And I know that's easy for us to say and harder to do, but sometimes some players take it for granted where they are and they don't work, and you can lose it in a heartbeat. As long as someone else comes by that shows a hint of more promise, like these teams, it's a business, and it's a mm-hmm. sad business when you achieve your dream and you let
I think
fingertips.
This is the other thing is that,
like,
you,
they're not gonna sit on
oh
you.
Sorry, you were cutting in and out. Yeah. And the only other thing that I would say about this is that, you know, I think this is Van Jefferson's last. I think this is his last year before a contract. This is his last year on his rookie. I think maybe he might have one more year, but
he has one more.
You know,
year.
He does. He'll be here for 2023.
Yeah.
Okay. So I guess he still has a little bit more time, but, you know, eventually at that same time, you know, you're going to be looking to, you know, you may not be able to keep Van Jefferson. I mean, if you keep Cooper Kupp and you keep Allen Robinson, you know, not many teams, you know, continue with the same three receivers multiple years. So, you know, you're definitely going to want to see people like, you know, Tutu Atwell and other receivers that you start picking up, you know, to increase their productivity And so hopefully we'll be able to see fun things from Tutu, because I think he can produce those cool plays. It's always hard for us to put him into a team where you already have, you know, two to three really good wide receivers. And so it's just a little hard, but I'm really glad that Stafford is impressed by him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he has the speed to be elite, and he just has to learn the route running ability and learn the tree or the route tree and the playbook. That's the biggest thing, is being on the same page with the quarterback. And sounds like he's doing a good job of that. Whitworth was present at both OTAs and minicamp. Really happy to see him back, kind of just observing. Hopefully, hey, maybe he could be a future O-line coach for the Rams. That would be really neat.
Yeah, I think you know, Sean McVay, he's kind of been open about it. He's like, you know, the door's always open for Whitworth. He can come in whenever he wants. He could be Coach Whitworth. You know, he can provide, you know, a lot of insight to these guys. I mean, I know still there are several guys on the team who still go to his house to work out on the offensive line. You know, not only was he there for OTAs and minicamp, he went to the draft house and was there for, I think, day two. At least day two of the Rams drafting. And, you know, this guy doesn't want to get away from football. He's just getting to the age where he doesn't know if he wants to put his body through that, and have his family watch him put his body through that. So he's able to have fun in LA. He's able to do what he wants to do. He's able to golf when he wants to golf and hang out with his kids when he wants to, but also able to just jump in into the Rams stadium and, or the Rams practice squad, and just be able to, you know, guide them mentor. And guide this offensive team.
No, definitely. His mentorship will be big, big key into developing this, a relatively, outside of Rob Havenstein, like, really young offensive line.
Yeah, I'm super excited. I'm glad McVay is open to this. I mean, I think coaches really need to get into this mindset, and the Rams have treated these players so well. I mean, even, you know, minus, you know, a couple players, you know, yes.
Todd Gurley.
But Todd Gurley, yes. Jared Goff didn't really go the way Sean McVay at least says he intended it to go. But anyways, but they treat their players really well. And, you know, I feel like you treat your players well, they're going to want to invest in the system, and they want to invest. I mean, how long was Whitworth in the Bengals, and the Bengals kind of just threw him away, and the Rams brought him in and, you know, made him, you know, a two-time Super Bowl, you know, person who's been to the Super Bowl two times and won them at one once. So he made him from a person who never made it to the playoff, or I don't know if he even made it to the playoffs. Compared to,
they made, you know, it to the playoffs, I believe, twice
during
with
his tenure.
Dalton, yeah.
Okay, so
I don't,
you
think,
know,
he won a playoff game with them.
Yep, fair enough. So, you know, but getting to the Super Bowl twice and winning once, I mean, that's an immaculate, you know, you know, an achievement of it in itself. So, plus he won Walter Payton of the Year. He just loves this team so much that I'm super excited to keep seeing him on the field. He's going to be a big benefit to that offensive line, even though he's not going to be playing. But, you know, you never know. He may pull a Eric Weddle, and, you know, he's still staying fit. So, you know, if we need him, he may be able to come back.
Yeah, have a Whitworth break emergency in case button come in like Batman. All right, Zach, this is what I've been waiting for. We are going to start our 2022 season preview week by week, and we are doing weeks 1 through 4 now, predicting. We'll kind of go through every opponent, their key season additions, draft additions, departures, and give our predictions and kind of like how we feel like this matchup will go. Now, bear in mind, we're doing our predictions with a sense of flow, with a sense of ebb and flows of seasons. Sometimes you can be going against a team that you should beat on paper, but because of a certain game beforehand or something like that, it can cause you to lose, right? You can have trap games. You can have games where that you shouldn't win and you do. Stuff like that. And we'll try to keep with our general gut feeling and have some honest opinion and talk about these teams we'll be facing and watching. It should be exciting. Hardest schedule, by the way, in the NFL, win-wise. So we'll see how it goes. Do you want to go ahead and start diving into the first matchup, Zach? Opening week, Bills at Rams.
Yeah, this one is probably the most anticipated game of that week. So the Bills, let's talk about last season for them. For the 2021 season, they were 11-6, first in the AFC East. I don't even know what I was trying to say. AFC East went to the divisional round, but lost to the Chiefs after, you know, what was probably considered one of the most thrilling playoff games in the playoff history. This was that game that effectively changed the overtime rules for the upcoming season's playoffs, mostly because Josh Allen didn't have a chance to get the ball back after the Chiefs scored an immediate touchdown on the opening drive of overtime. Some big other notable points as far as that season went. Points for 483, third in the third of 32. And then points against, their defense was only had 289 points against them, first of 32. So they had the best defense by at least by points in the NFL. How are you feeling about that?
They're a well-rounded team. I would say they're probably the best roster in the entire NFL, top to bottom. You're talking about depth. You're talking about starters. They ended up losing Cole Beasley, Emmanuel Sanders, Jerry Hughes, and Mario Addison. So they lost two wide receivers, two edges, and they end up signing Jameson Crowder and O.J. Howard to kind of fill those voids of the two missing wide receivers. And then Von Miller to kind of help fill the void of the two missed edge rushers. And Duke Johnson as a little bit of good running back in there. Solid roster. Not solid roster. Great roster. Von Miller choosing the Bills over the Rams. That's going to be another kind of plot point to this matchup and seeing Miller get his ring and then play us is going to be, it'll be emotional, but like, I'm not going to hold against him. Like, he made the best decision for his family. And, you know, the Bills are a good team. So it's going to be a very duke it out to the death type of match. I think it's going to go down to the wire. Zach, do you want to go ahead and put out your prediction?
Oh, yeah. Well, leave it to me to give the first prediction of the game. This is going to be a high scoring game. This is probably one of the games that I'm most concerned about. But because it is the opening week, it is the Rams trying to say, no, we are here for real. We are the Super Bowl champs. I'm going to give it to them, and I'm going to give it a 41-37 LA. We should probably write this down. But that's what I think it's going to be a high scoring game. 41-37 LA.
So 31-37 LA. Okay.
41-37.
Oh. 41-30. Oh, that's so you're thinking kind of Chiefs Rams vibes here. That type of shootout.
I'm thinking it's going to be a shootout.
Pure offensive, kind of like Bills Chiefs shootout.
Yep, that's what I'm thinking.
I think it'll be more like the Chiefs Rams shootout, whereas both offense and defense making big plays on both sides.
Yeah. I don't not see that. I really think the offenses are just going to fire on all cylinders. You know, seeing Cooper Kupp and Matthew Stafford year two, I think is going to be great. you know, my only worry is that they do have Von Miller, and I would not surprise me if Von Miller's, you know, would dive some of the defensive secrets. So, especially, you know, when he's really trying to make another Super Bowl run. So that's my concern for that.
I will say 37-34 Bills. I just have a feeling, Zach, going into this game, not that I don't think the Rams can beat the Bills, but they've had our number lately. We have had a very good streak of winning in week one. And I just feel like everything coming together, it will be a shootout, offensive and defensive scoring. I think they score a pick six. I just think this game will be a little bit of like mixed messages where the Rams offense is doing really good, but also has hiccups. I just think it's going to be a little bit more juiced on the Bills side to kind of prove themselves and make a statement game out of this.
And that's totally
the Rams fall short.
Yeah, I think that's totally fair. I mean, when you go back to the 2020 game where, you know, was kind of like the Rams looked like they were going to lose that they were just going to lose that game. And then they came in at the end and started, you know, really firing on all cylinders. Just remember that was, you know, that was still using Jared Goff. That was, you know, our offense was not at its peak that year. And yet we still did it. We still almost came back to win that game. So
we should really have won that game.
Yeah. Should have, yes. But, you know, I really think that, you know, the Rams are in a better spot offensively than they were definitely in 2020. And, you know, assuming they get everything worked out, getting Allen Robinson into the system pretty quickly, I think that, you know, we still have the upper advantage. Who are the other two wide receivers on the Bills besides, you know, the newcomer Jamison Crowder, which I think he's a good quarterback. I just don't know if he's one of the more elite quarterbacks or running wide receivers.
Stephon Diggs.
Oh, Stephon Diggs. So yeah. So
I like Crowder. I think he's solid. He'll be a solid two.
Yeah, I mean, he was, what, with the Jets for so many years, so.
Yeah, I mean, the Jets are the Jets, so. who can blame him for a lack of production on the Jets? Let's go ahead and move on to everyone's least favorite game in the Rams at Falcons for week two. Zach, you're talking about a team that went 7-10. I thought they did have a lot of fight in them under Arthur Smith, I believe was their head coach. They were third in NFC South, which is impressive given the roster they had. They had a really poor roster. They were 26th in the league for offense, and they were 29th in defense. Very bad on both accounts. They added Marcus Mariota. They re-signed Cordell Patterson, Damian Williams. They got Isaiah Oliver and then Brian Edwards. No one of huge intent. They got Drake London in the draft and Desmond Ridder, someone who he was my number one QB in the draft. So I do think he's someone to look out for. I expect him to win that job from Mariota. I would be surprised if he loses that to Mariota in a training camp. And they lose Matt Ryan, Dante Fowler, Hayden Hurst, and Harmon. So, I mean, Dante Fowler wasn't doing too much. Hayden Hurst was a solid tight end, but they didn't lose a lot. They haven't gained a lot. I think they're going to be kind of where they were last year, even more of a dumpster fire if Marcus Mariota or Desmond Ridder can't get up to Matt Ryan status, which I don't think either of them will this year.
Yeah, same boat. I don't really foresee this going against the Rams. I mean, this can't even. I mean, this is the second game, so really, it can't really be a trap game. So I'm with you. This team, you know, was always around Matt Ryan. You know, he just didn't have the weapons at the end. And again, like you said, I don't really think he has the weapons that he really needs, whoever gets the QB position. And even if, you know, even if you get a rookie QB, you know, the rookie QB a lot of times, unless, you know, you're a Joe Burrow, you know, you're probably not going to be as successful as you might think on year one.
Mm-hmm. What's your prediction?
This one I think is going to be I think this is going to go way into the Rams' favor. I would say 31-17.
Well, I have it 30-17 Rams. So, we are both pretty much in agreement that this is going to be, a game where I think John Wolford will probably end up starting, end up being like the starter in one quarter. I think we end up resting a lot of our players into the fourth, which is good because in my schedule right now, I have them losing week one and bouncing back in week two to get ready for week three, Rams v. Cardinals. Our next two games against the NFC West, very weird. I'm used to
having to play the whole division, like everyone, like the last 4 weeks,
December. Yeah. We almost have it, at least recently, never played them early in the schedule. We either play them mid schedule, like one or two games mid schedule, and the rest at the end. So it's going to be weird because we get done with, I believe, the 49ers
before like week 8. We're done with them before the half. So yeah, it's super bizarre that we are not like doing the last game of the season or the second to last game of the season against the 49ers. It's just weird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we faced the Cardinals. They went second in the West. As everyone knows, Cliff Kingsbury, he's known for not having good second season or second half of his seasons. And that continued last year. The fact that they ended 11th in both offense and defense, and they crumbled so badly, and it wasn't just a wild card game. They were crumbling the weeks leading up to the playoffs. I think they lost, six out of seven or six out of eight of their last eight games. It was it was insane. I think they nearly lost to the Jags or something. It just, you can't play that style of football, and especially with the start of their season they had, to go end up losing the division and then go into the wild card round and just get completely stomped. Like, Zach, if you would have told me that the Cardinals would have been a blowout, halfway through last season, that would have called you crazy. Like, I would have said, oh, at least they're going to score like three touchdowns.
Let's also remember. So the Cardinals last year, one, two, three, four, five, six, the last six regular season games, they won two. Okay. They beat the Bears and they beat the Cowboys. But do you want to know who they lost to? They lost to the Detroit Lions, and they lost to the Colts.
Oof.
And they also the Seahawks. All Oof. Of those teams, yeah, the Detroit Lions were last in their division. The Seahawks were last in the division. And the Colts blew it against the Jaguars. So that they are last, in my opinion, in their division during that year. this is a team who started off the season 7-0. They get to November 21st with two losses. And they just could, or well, they get to week 13 with two losses. And then they just fell apart when they had to face the Rams on Monday Night Football. And then that's when the Rams just decided to take over and say, yeah, we're
half of our team had COVID too.
Exactly. Like that was the worst outcome for the Rams, and they came out and stomped them and then never looked back. I mean, this is the Cardinals are a weird team. I mean, right now they are 1-10 when facing the Rams under Sean McVay. And the one time was during their somehow miraculous spree that they had, you know, the first, you know, 3/4 of the season.
When
they beat us 37-20, which was kind of a stomping.
When Jackson kind of watched the ball get intercepted and was like, oh, well, that sucks. Don't get me started on that game. That game was a little it was a little weird how it happened, but it happened. 1-10, still good to know that we have their number a little bit. They get Marquise Brown in the offseason, and they draft Trey McBride, Cameron Thompson, Maji Sanders, I'm probably butchering that name, and then Ingram, Conte Ingram. So no huge names there. I mean, maybe one's a steal, but they lose Chandler Jones. They lose Jordan Hicks, Christian Kirk, and Chase Edmonds. I would say those are like four decently big names.
Yeah.
I mean, Marquise Brown, I would say, is better than Kirk. I will give them that. Like, they got to upgrade and get in Hollywood.
Yeah, and and then re-signing Ertz, I think, was a great, you know, I don't think they just get him to get him, but Ertz is a really good tight end. He's a really good threat. The one problem that I think that we're really going to see is on their offensive side, only because who did they not have for the first few games of the year?
Oh, you're talking about D-Hop. D-Hop got suspended too.
He's suspended.
That's also true.
So
I think suspended just for our first game, not our second.
Just for the first game. I'm gonna do.
Yeah,
I'm
but that will be his first game back.
Okay.
I don't think he can practice with the team either. I'm not 100% sure about that, but.
Yeah, so, I mean, losing him is going to be, he was suspended for the, a good portion of last season, or at the end of the season, wasn't he?
No, he got suspended after the season was over. They had lost
after the season.
By then.
Okay. Let's see. Set to serve a 6-game suspension.
Yeah. So it will be over after the first game.
Yeah. So he will be with it. He won't be with the team until week 7 against the Saints.
Yeah. Man. Let's go on to week 4. Or actually, let's do predictions. Jeez. What's your predictions for Cardinals versus Rams?
Oof. You know, I think, you know, again, man, I can't make every game a Rams victory, but I'm gonna go strong and continue with the Rams victory. The Rams will win this game. I think Murray is still too scared of AD and that defense. So I am probably gonna go with. I'm gonna go 28-17.
Yeah, I'll say 30-24 Rams. I think it's a victory. I think it's, they're kind of nipping at our heels that game. And we squeak it out. Not squeak it out, but we kind of score a touchdown. Very much kind of like how we ended the game against the Ravens. But instead of losing at that point, we're tied.
Cool. You want to enter into...
Maybe I'm completely wrong with it. Typically, I am. So, let's go on to Rams versus 49ers. Zach, this team was 10-7, third in the West. And, of course, they are who we face in the conference final, which, let's be honest, Zach, both me and you did not want to see them in the conference final. They were kind of like our least favorite team wanting to see, knowing that we had lost six straight to them. But, you know, we ended up beating them 23-17. It was a really good game. It was looking bad basically all the way until the late third. And the Rams ended up rallying, coming back. I want to say it was one of the higher comebacks for a championship game, at least on the NFC side, in a while. Just good on the Rams, sticking through it. They face a team that is adding Jeff Wilson, Charvarius Ward from the Rams, Kerry Hyder Jr., and then Oren Burks. And then they add Drake Johnson, Davis Price, and Danny Gray, and Spencer Buford in the draft. They end up losing Kaywan Williams, Tom Compton, Aaron Key, and Lincoln Tomlinson. So they do lose a decently good guard in Tomlinson. And then Kaywan Williams, I think he was a productive kind of rotational player. So they didn't lose a lot. Very good roster. They're probably going to lean more into the rookie. I would be surprised if they start Jimmy G. That's going to be a weird dynamic for that team on how they handle the QB situation, and having two starters on the same team. Just, it's going to be an interesting game.
Yes. So, number one, I am still furious that they made it to the conference championship. They were third in the NFC West. But I'm also glad that we didn't have to face Green Bay. I will say that. As far as this team goes, I'm not sure I can give an accurate prediction as of right now because of two things. One, we do not know who the quarterback will be at that point in time. I do agree with you that I think that it's going to be Lance. So, you know, I'm pretty sure about that. But again, we don't know. Like you said, they're pretty much two starting quarterbacks. So unless they do something with Jimmy G, I don't know if they will sideline him or not. The other one is Debo. You know, the rumblings have kind of dissipated over the last several weeks as far as Debo goes. But he's wanting to have a contract, restructure. And whether that means he will stay on the team or leave the team, that team revolved around Debo Samuel. It doesn't matter what quarterback is there. To be truthful, if Debo's there, they're going to use him the same way, even though he's also stated that he wants to be more of a receiver and not more of a running back, you know, utility tool that he was this past season. But still, he is Debo Samuels. He's still a threat when it comes to the running game, the passing game, the blocking game. He seems to be a magician at of getting out of various scenarios. So it's going to be very hard to predict this game, and it may be amended once we actually get, prior to preseason to adjust it. But so that's kind of my two cents on why it's going to be a difficult to call this game. Because I think the Rams and the 49ers have been having the Rams number for so many years that it makes it more challenging, and it makes it feel like the Rams should lose this game. But because of the quarterback change up, because of we don't know the mystery behind Debo Samuels, you know, I'm unsure really how this could go. This could be the Rams finally reversing roles and making this a, you know, a better opportunity for them.
Yeah, with all the caveats aside, I just think the reason why we lost to them in the regular season, number one, the second game being a really great game that honestly it was a slight missed throw by Stafford to end the game in overtime. Also, we seem to never win the coin in overtime, which is aggravating. But besides that, like, we should have won that game. The first game, honestly, I think that monkey on our back for the rest of the roster, where almost every player who's been here for any significant amount of time has just lost to the 49ers. And then Stafford gets thrown into that type of situation, and the rest of the roster is just struggling to overcome this mental hurdle and perform like we normally do. We had so many drops. That's what I remember about that first 49ers game, Zach. It's just our team seemed like it had butter on our gloves. Like, no one on our white... Cooper Kupp had some drops in that game. You know it's bad when I remember Cooper Kupp having big drops. It just felt like there was a mental block there that first game. And I'm so happy in the championship we got over that mental block. I don't think it will be there for this game. I think we end up winning this one 24-21. I think it'll be more of a defensive slug compared to the other games.
Yeah, does it make any difference that this one is a Monday night game to you?
Not really. I think... Irregardless, we've always struggled against them because of their scheme. They were very much built to beat the Rams, especially their defense. And I think adding someone like Robinson will help tremendously because we're not going to be limited to having Woods and Kupp just possession wide receivers trying to catch slants or trying to catch kind of dagger routes and stuff like that. I fully expect us to have like one of those ones where if one of their short corners is trying to man up Robinson, that he goes up and tries to high point, or Stafford tries to high point the ball, and you'll have some like just mossing people. I really do think Robinson will change this offense in how Stafford operates versus Woods. They're just two different type of wide receivers, and I think that will help us beat the 49ers.
Awesome. Well, my prediction of this game is going, as of right now, based on the information that I know, and I think that there's going to be some struggle in the quarterback spot, I'm going to go with the Rams, and they are going to have a 27-24 victory.
A little higher scoring. Do you think the 49ers get another fumble recovery touchdown?
No, but I do think that they're going to rely more on the running. And if this is still considering that Debo is still in the, is still on the roster.
Yeah, if Debo leaves the roster, expect our scores to change by like 4, maybe 6 points. I would say so, that's like fair.
Just based on a lot of the information right now, this one is the one that I'm just like, it's really hard because you don't really know how that situation is going to play out until after, you know, training camp and things like that. I think after training camp, we finally figure out who's going to be the quarterback. And then hopefully, you know, we'll figure out how Debo is going to play, but you know, so caveat there. But I promise that going forward, I will not always choose the Rams, even though I'm kind of biased and I think they could win any of these games if they really, really tried. I think probably the only I really think by the end of this, we're definitely after the four games, we're 3-1 at I think really at worst. I think we could be 4-0. I think the one hiccup game for me is, I mean, it is the Bills game. I think the Rams can do it with who they have now. But I would say probably best as far as going into this after week four, that we'd be 3-1.
Yeah, and let's not freak out if we get blown out in week one. Like, everyone needs to remember, week one, weird stuff happens. Every season, there's one or two games that are complete outliers to how the season will go. Mm-hmm. And, like, people focus way too much on performances, especially of individual players in week one. Remember, the Saints just completely blowing didn't they get blown out, Zach? Who did they blow out in week one of last year?
The Saints?
Yeah.
Ooh, I will look that up while
I'm Googling okay. It.
While you Google that, you know, like I said, like it's going to be a really exciting season. It's going to be the hardest season that the Rams have faced in a very, very, very long time. I mean, I feel like the Rams seasons are always usually pretty tricky. I mean, just battling your own division three times, especially this division, is challenging. I don't think it's the strongest division in the NFL anymore. I think that moves forward actually into the AFC, but the Rams will still have a tough road ahead of them. Especially being the Super Bowl, and you know, that just automatically means you get the hardest schedule.
Packers. The Packers got blown out 38-3. And ouch. May I remind everyone, the Packers ended their season 13-4, getting the number one seed, and the Saints ended 9-8. So it's like people overreact. I remember people saying, oh, Aaron Rodgers is done now, he's toast, he's washed, as the kids say. Yeah, they just don't read too much into week one, and we'll put that on our preview podcast, and I'll probably rant about it then too.
All right, you got anything else to finish it up while we close out?
Nope.
All right, well, I think that's all going to do it for the season two opener of the East Coast Rams podcast. We'll be going through week by week now. We're going to be going through, well, not next week, but you know, in the next couple of weeks, we're going to go down and break down the next 4 weeks. So more content coming your way, breaking down the latest news. Hopefully maybe we'll hear some more about OBJ. So really excited about that. It's going to be kind of slow because they're taking, I think they're on like a 5-6 week break before training camp actually happens. So looking forward to that. But if you guys have any questions, you know, we would always love to, you know, kind of do a Q&A segment on the podcast. So if you have any questions, feedback, please feel free to email us. Our email address is feedback@eastcoastrams.com, or hit us up on Twitter. Our official Twitter account is at East Coast Rams. But you can also find Ashton at RamsFanAshton1 and myself at Zach Mayer. We're really going to try to post more on the East Coast Rams podcast Twitter page. So please like, follow, retweet us when we do post things. That just helps us get our name out there and get more people to listen. All right, so finishing up on our little script that I have here, big thanks to everyone who listens to the pod and interacts with us. It takes a village to do what we do, to get people entertained. So please take a few minutes to like, review, and share this podcast with fellow Rams fans, or really any fan who likes football. I think they're going to get a lot out of it. Hopefully, you know, maybe we can even find some people who are, you know, fans of the opposing team and get their perspective on knowing that team, that organization, and how they feel like they're going to do some stuff. So maybe we'll do some research on those people as well. So with that, Ashton, any final words you want to say to the people?
Nope. Excited for the rest of this season. Excited to break down the rest of this schedule with you, Zach, and I hope everyone keeps on tuning on in.
All right, guys. Whose house? Rams house.